Hey Pijuju, how are you? What are you doing? Why are you not picking up my phone?
Well, David Chumbi, I'm just scrolling through my phone, going through my WhatsApp, my Facebook, and all that.
Serious, what's the time now?
Wait, it's almost 1800 hours! I need to tune into Eagle FM! Business Economic Segment is about to play now!
Yes, listen to Business and Economic Segment with David Chumbi from 1800 hours to 1900 hours when we talk about business, economics, trade, and current affairs. Do not miss out if you want to learn and move forward with economic advancement.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, good evening. Good evening, dear listeners. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Chumbi. And this is a discussion that we discuss business, we discuss economic affairs, we discuss everything that affects our bread and butter, and also looking at what is happening on the international front, what is happening at the continental affairs, and also what do we need to do at home to make sure that when we speak about bread and butter, what conversation we need to drive into. So wherever you are finding yourself, we are greeting you from your number one favorite talk radio station in Namibia, that is Eagle FM Namibia. Here is where we discuss matters. Here is where we discuss issues which affect our bread and butter issue. Yeah, some of you are looking forward to December. You are looking forward to the end of the month, and you are looking forward to the new year of 2026. But the fact that you tune into Eagle FM Namibia, that is a great thing to do. And yeah, from the economic point of view, everybody is watching, especially when it comes to development at the front of South Africa, where you'll be able to see that different players in global economy are moving towards South Africa, especially heads of states and government, heads of institutions. We are speaking about European Union, we are speaking about African Union, we are speaking about Russia, China, India, and other global players in the economy that are part of G20. And just this morning, when we were speaking at TMS, we indicate to say South African Police General and the Commissioner of South African Police Force, that is Feni Masemola, indicated that South Africa is ready. It's ready to host, and it's ready to protect the delegates. And it was also very interesting to see all the units in the South African police out there parading themselves and showing their readiness, ready for defense, ready for protection, and also ready to counter any criminal activity which will come on the way. Because where there is a high level of individual, there is also a high chance of security breach, and also that is where criminals get opportunity to go through, and also get opportunity to get away with variable information, and also get opportunity to get away with variable materials or hurting somebody. But the security of South Africa, the general indicated that is on top notch, and South Africa is ready. Yeah, looking at the context of Namibia, tomorrow is the day. Tomorrow is the day, especially when competition at the highest level, particularly that side of Thailand, when Johanna Swartboy will be faced against many contestants, especially around the world. That is Miss Universe. And to simplify it, to say the lady who present the best at the universal level, at global stage, and there are no small ladies, particularly in terms of title. We speak about Miss States, Miss US, Miss Japan, Miss South Africa, Miss Namibia, and all the big players are there. But all eyes with Johanna Swartboy. And it's also good for Namibian pride. It's also good to support each other as Namibians and to see whatever she come out with, we are going to support her. And the aim is only one. If you are entering the match, you are looking at a bigger title. But to apply all the tactics and strategy, and also what is very important is support. Support like you want people to support you. And yeah. So what do we have on the table today? What is the conversation we have today, especially when we look at Namibian business sector, And also when you look at Namibian private sector, there is something that people do not speak about, or it looks fancy, it looks sophisticated, it looks like it's only a discussion of non-laymen, it's a discussion of specialists, but it's something which is affecting everybody, and it's something which is affecting every business, and it's something which is affecting every individual, particularly when you are dealing with money, particularly when you are dealing with financial planning, particularly when you are dealing with online transaction, and when you are involved in business. And one of those things that we are going to discuss today, cybercrime, fraud, and also illegal activities happening online, where you see those with advanced knowledge in terms of technology, those with advanced knowledge in terms of, computer. They use computer apps. They manipulate the system so that those clients of banks or even organizations, they end up losing their information, losing your data, and also eventually losing money. And when you look at the context of Namibia, we have a history of prominent people to the level of a prime minister losing money just by the call through the phone, infiltrated by criminals who are sophisticated, and that is what we call cybercrime. You also have a trend record of breaching of systems, storage facility in terms of data. We have a case of Telecom, we have a case of NASFAF, we have a case of Shwarongo Municipality, we have a case of Ministry of Health and other sectors. And the statistics are indicating that when you look at cyber crime, more than 90% of the incidents end up not reported. More than 90% of the incidents in cyber end up not reported. What about those who did not report? What is the magnitude of unrecorded activity in cyber crime? And how does this impact development of developing countries? You know, and I think I want to refer you back to the conversation I had around June there, when Namibia hosted International Conference on Cybersecurity, the conversation which I have with one of the consultants within the cyberspace, that is Billy Serekane, who indicated that when you speak about cybersecurity, when you speak about cybercrime, Africa is losing between 4 to 10 billion US dollars annually due to cybercrimes. We have sophisticated, well-coordinated organizations that are operating in that. You have international hunters who are operating on that trading of information, and it's becoming a scary world, and it affects especially if you do not have information, and also if you are not aware of how these incidents are reporting. Now today I was at FNB event on cybersecurity, and the conversation was in line with what is happening, particularly in the cyberspace. And one of the presenters, who is with a CEO within the respective institution that she is reading, and that is one of the things that Rala Eslin has stated, the CEO of TransUnion Namibia, stated that about 1.2 million cyber events were recorded in Namibia, that is in 2024. 1.2 million cyber events were recorded. Is that of which were recorded? And you agree with me, you know of somebody who lost money through fraudulent activity. You know somebody who was told that you won a certain voucher, you just need to send back this OTP, then at the end of the day that person end up losing money throughout his or her bank account. You know of an incident where somebody deposited money to what they call a mirror account, an account that is used to transfer money and also to make money disappear. And as people who are advocating for business development, as people who are entrepreneurs, as people who are interested in expanding Namibian economy, we should not shy away from the discussion of cybersecurity. We may not be the expert of cybersecurity, but we must be aware, either in terms of training, in terms of communication, and in terms of understanding the future of the world. Now, I want to put this into context. When you look into the report of Bank of Namibia Financial Stability Report of April, and also the recent one of October. Look at that report very carefully, because that report explained very well what is happening within Namibian economic sector. And the same report of April, when it looked at what are the threats to the Namibian economy, the same report which also looked at the issues of financial action task force, the issue of grey listing. It's the same report which spoke to say, when it's coming to cyber threats, in April, the financial stability report, BON's financial stability report indicated that Namibia is going to continue to experience threat of cyber crime. And the question is that how much investment have we put in the combating against cyber, attacks? How many technical experts do we have in combating cyber security? Now, because when you have a certain problem, you also have a way on answering to that problem. You have a way of solving that problem. And what is that way of solving that problem? Because you cannot have a problem in April, and when you are reporting in October, you're saying this cyber attack continue to persist. What are we doing right, and what are we not doing well? How much of effort from all ends? Because we know it may look like a sophisticated conversation. It might look like a conversation that is very sophisticated to that extent that it's only some people who will be able to understand it. But from an ordinary perspective, from an ordinary point of view, how do we protect ourselves from that? How do we protect ourselves from that? Before we go deep into the conversation, I want you to take you to the conversation of today, especially when you are joined by our guest in the studio. Those are the experts in the field of fraud and also risk management, especially when you look at the context of Namibia when it comes to fraud and also cybercrime. And today I'll be joined by Head of Fraud, which is Mr. Ramesh Ramdin, and also Ms. Rina Deang from First Red Group, Namibia, just to discuss with us, especially when it comes to this development, especially when it's coming to this development of cyber security and also fraud. Yes, we are continuing with the business and economic segment. We are looking at issues of economic development. However, today we are going to touch on the aspect of fraud and also issues of risk management, either at the corporate sector and also at public sector. And as it indicated today, RMB Namibia has hosted a fraud and risk event just to look at the aspect of either is cyber security, either is fraud, how to be aware from the corporate point of view. But for us to unpack the overview and also the background of this event, I'm joined by Mr. Ramesh Radim, and he's the head of fraud R&B Namibia, just to explain and also to look at what were they really looking at, what's the objective of the event, and also joined by his colleague, and he's going to introduce himself just to join us in the studio this evening. Mr. Ramesh, good evening, and welcome to Business and Economic Segment.
Good evening, sir. Thank you so much for having us on your segment this evening. I want to just firstly say thank you to our listeners that are dialing in this evening and joining us on this channel. It's an honor to be part of your community, to be part of the show this evening. And we also want to thank you for inviting R&B and First Strand Namibia to be part of the occasion. So if I had to just kind of go into the event that we had earlier, is around basically ensuring that we want to resonate the message around trust, where we as a bank want to continue to build on the already trusted relationship that our customers enjoy with the bank, and more importantly, to reinforce the message that the issue of fraud is not a isolated one person, one entity issue. It is pervasive across the entire business environment of Namibia. Yeah. It's pervasive to our economy in Namibia. It is affecting the vulnerable in our businesses and in our communities. And together as First Strand Namibia and R&B and FMB Namibia, we want to put out the message and say to our customers and to our communities that we are here to join hands to ensure that we prevent, we detect, we prevent fraud as early as possible with the right messaging. And the messaging is basically fraudsters are out there to capitalize on the vulnerable points in any transaction, in any engagement. What's important for our customers to understand is that we need to be able to think before we click. Yeah. For example, on your phishing emails, on the calls that you get that says you have won a competition, but you need to release your personal information. Yeah. On a caller that is calling you and saying to you that he's calling from a trusted institution and looking to, for you as a customer to release your information. We are saying, please do not divulge your confidential information to anyone.
Yeah, looking at from the perspective of RMB and also looking at Namibian environment, I was watching the presentation and I'm seeing to say when it comes to Namibia, we are still at quite high risk, although there is a bit of awareness being given out there. What is the content of the awareness campaign that is given either from RMB perspective, and are the people getting the information, particularly when it's coming to how they should prevent or protect themselves to become a victim of cybercrime? Are they learning from your perspective?
I believe that our customers in the corporate and commercial spaces are definitely heeding to the awarenesses that we are getting.
Großartige Neuigkeiten. Imba ist jetzt noch besser geworden. Wir haben brandneue Funktionen hinzugefügt, um dein Erlebnis noch reibungsloser, schneller und leistungsstärker zu machen als je zuvor. Bereit, das volle Potenzial von Imba freizuschalten? Erhalte alle exklusiven Funktionen für nur 36 Namibia-Dollar pro Monat. Oder spare noch mehr mit unserem speziellen Abonnement-Plänen. 5% Rabatt bei einem 3-Monats-Abonnement, 10% Rabatt bei einem 6-Monats-Abonnement oder 25% Rabatt bei einem 12-Monats-Abonnement. Wähle den Plan, der am besten zu dir passt und genieße alles, was Imba zu bieten hat, zu einem unschlagbaren Preis. Imba, where the world congregates. Lade es herunter und abonniere noch heute.
Are definitely heeding to the awarenesses that we are creating. Yeah. I mean, the event earlier definitely resonated the message that they are really interested to know what are the best forms of defense. Yeah. That they can use to protect themselves against fraud. I'm really glad that our customers are heeding our awareness campaigns, our engagements. Yeah.
Yes, it's not only Mr. Ramesh who is joining us in the studio this evening. He's also joined by one of his colleagues, but she is going to introduce herself and also look at the overview of today's event. And we are also going to pose a question, especially regarding what challenge is private sector getting into, particularly when you have a challenge of public sector, because sometimes you can have clients, but the information is leaked from the other side. And I see, when I observe that private sector, when it's coming to cyber security, you look at, I think they are a bit advanced compared to public sector. But the question that will come after the introduction is also that how difficult it is to deal with information which is already leaked from the other side, particularly when you are dealing with a client.
Okay, good afternoon, good evening, listeners, and thank you very much for having us on the show. So my name is Rina de Jager. I'm a fraud manager and part of the fraud risk team in FNB, but mostly in the First Rand Group, which also deals with all the other companies in the group. Yeah, so to get back to, so the whole idea of today was just to basically enforce the trust that the bank wants to have with our customers, with our clients, and especially with the public out there. We have a very large customer base in Namibia, and we would like to be your trusted partner when it comes to banking and moving your money and making your money work for you. So just in terms of the question that you posed about when information is leaked on another level. So as a private person or in private sector, we have very strict, very stringent securities in our businesses and on our IT platforms, on our cyber platforms. But in the private sector, maybe not so much. So once that information gets leaked, it causes a vulnerability in the larger chain, which in the end ends up making the customer basically victim of whatever perpetrated fraud. So it's very important that our customers out there is aware that if you suspect that your details might have been compromised at a public sector entity or whatever, that you come in contact with your bank and that you inform us, and that we can assist you to just update your security on whether it's the app, whether it's online or whatever. Or if you have a suspicion that you might have been compromised, that you contact the bank, and that you ask us to assist you, because we can assist you.
Yeah, as expert or people that are dealing with fraud in that industry, I want if you have statistics, because somebody may be interested to see. You know, there's a lot of things which happen, especially with either cyber crime, people being scammed. Do we have case or records of people being arrested or people being traced, especially from the private sector point of view? And also, what are the new development in the sector? While we are there, I'm also interested in academia, especially the content of education that we are getting. Because I was having a conversation with one cybersecurity consultant from South Africa, Dr. Billy Serekana, and said, no, some of these scammers are very young people, mm-hmm. and things are changing very fast. Yes. Maybe just to touch on that, but first let us look at the case of people who were arrested, and also looking at that point of view before we go to academia and how education should keep up with current trends.
Thanks. Good question. And I think very, very important to understand that in the life cycle of fraud management, a very key piece of that is law enforcement interaction.
Yeah.
Our law enforcement in Namibia are really supporting the financial sector industry when it comes to managing fraud. So if the financial sector reports a case with the law enforcement, they are quick to respond, and they obviously have their statistics around how many individuals have been arrested for fraud, and I'm sure you can reach out to the Commissioner of Police for that.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't have those stats.
Yeah.
But internally in the bank, we do keep stats around, you know, what is our level of fraud in different sectors of the business, so whether it's a retail, commercial, or corporate side, and we also track that very carefully month on month. That is part of our measurement to ensure that are we doing better at our jobs, or do we need to pull up our socks? And I think we work very closely with law enforcement to also close that circle to ensure that the perpetrators out there are dealt with from a justice system perspective. And just to pick up on your other question around, you know, from academia and academics, you know, the vision is to ensure that our socialization, our awareness campaigns don't only work or is done within the corporate and the commercial spaces. We want to go into the universities. We want to go into the schools. And that's next year's strategies is part of our awareness is to work with our institutions of academics to say, listen, invite us to the universities where we can start educating our youngsters around device management, how to use your devices, not to click, etc. But we also want to start at a young level in schools where they, at the young age, when you create the right level of culture of fraud management and crime management and risk management, that becomes part of their education for years to come.
Yeah.
So that's our strategy next year, to also become part of the academic world as well.
Yes. Ma'am, just before we will give your final input, the question is regarding the cooperation between private sector and also public sector. I remember, I think it's around June when you attend the International Conference on Cybersecurity. You know, the same week, Chivarongo Municipality was hacked by ransomware, and it was so surprising to say you have a lot of, expert in one place also discussing about that issue, but somebody has an audacity of doing that. But my question here is looking at the aspect of what is the cooperation between private sector and public sector, especially in the fight against, cyber crimes. And also maybe to touch a little bit on financial action task force, the fact that Namibia is also pulling up, a socks regarding those recommendations which are given.
So as we all know, Namibia was grey-listed recently, and we are fighting very hard to get back, to get off that list, and to make good with, what the bank and what FATF requires from us. And as a result, I think because of the reasons why we were grey-listed, a lot of that was because we were not ready for cyber crimes and for the movement of money, which is so easy now with nowadays with cryptocurrencies and all of these things. So I think there's a lot of collaboration between private sector and public sector to get that right, because it's very important. It's not only important for private sector to have that, it's also important for public sector to have it. So we are collaborating with them in various ways, but I think mostly it is that there are certain regulations and things that are enforced just as much on public sector as it is on private sector, and that we adhere to those regulations that are enforced, because the regulations is the things that actually protect, whether you're in public sector, private sector, whether you're individual, commercial, client, retail, that's what protects us. And that's also what's getting off that grey list is what is going to boost the economy going forward.
Yes, thank you very much. Maybe just how is 2026 looking like? Apart from the event, I understand you have an awareness going on. How is 2026 looking like?
Well, I'm very optimistic that the year of 2026 is going to be a year of great strides. We are going to be really embarking on a journey of partnering, and it could be partnering with both the private, the public sector, with government institutions, our corporate, our commercial, our retail customers, ensuring we really bring in the state-of-the-art technology to fraud prevention and fraud management in First Rand Namibia, but also ensure that the human side is never lost, because we can often lose the human side when we bring in so much of technology. And I want to ensure our listeners out there that First Rand Namibia will always be and always have the human side to our business. We embrace our customers, we value our customers, and we want to ensure our customers that you can call upon us to ensure that we support you in any form of fraud and cybersecurity risk management. Thank you so much for having us.
Yes, thank you for joining us this evening, and thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Yeah, that is a conversation. That is a conversation, especially when it's coming to the private sector. But you know what differentiates private sector from the public sector is that private sector do its best to make sure that the resources are protected. But with public sector, with much respect, there is more which need to be done, because for you to fight cybercrime, for you to have effective governing institution, for you to have an effective financial system, you need cooperation between public and private sector. And that is a communication of the president to say you cannot build Namibia with one sector not cooperating with another. But the question that you need to ask yourself is that how much money is spent on research and development, especially when it's coming to issues of cybersecurity? How much money is spent on, training, capacitating those youngster, those ethical hackers to understand the global changes? And did we include issues of cybersecurity in our strategic plan, or we are still going to include those issues in our strategic plan? Because when you look at strategic plan, you look at your long-term objective and how we are going to navigate through those challenges. Because if you come with a SWOT analysis, you also be able to see and also understand what are your weakest points, what are your strongest points, and also how are you going to apply the needed skills, especially when it comes to implementation of that strategic plan. You know, today, when I was having a conversation with Mr. Johannes Hatutare from NIPAM, one of the things that he mentioned is that they are looking toward advancing and assisting those in public sector who do not have, who did not yet have a strategic plan, at least to have their strategic plan. But one of the things is that it's one thing to have a document, but it's also very important, it's very imperative, and it's necessary to have a right document which incorporate all the necessary tools to fight battles at that point in time. Because if you have wrong tools, even if they are effective, you are not going to win that that battle. If you have bigger tools for a smaller battle, you are not going to win. You need the right tools, and in that point in time, this point in time, right tools is a strategic plan which has a game plan, especially how to deal with cyber threats. We need awareness too, and when you listen to the conversation, especially from the experts, one of the things which was indicated, sometimes is old system that is vulnerable. Sometimes challenges can come from clients. Sometimes those aspect of phishing, and also those aspect of trapping with various skills, either it's through a message, through an email, either it's through a QR code. There is now a different concept I've heard. There is quishing. It's also one of the new developments, especially when you speak about issues of criminals who are advanced at the highest level. Because a cyber criminal is not an ordinary person. It's somebody who can impersonate. The world was shocked. In fact, Namibia were shocked when we see somebody can go to the extent of impersonating a president in a video, that not an ordinary person can be able to understand and to differentiate between what is fake, what is AI, and what is right. Desperate people may end up investing, but at the end of the day, you are tricked, because we fail to understand, we fail to learn, and we fail to move with time. That is why now, when you look at the discussion of slow pace of making laws, one must be able to understand that for you to tackle these issues of cyber crimes, you also need strong legal framework. Strong legal framework that move with time. How do you find what is the punishment? How do you deal with that? How do you investigate a cybercrime? How can somebody become an expert in cybercrime, an investigator who is giving evidence with things which have happened online? That is the world that we are living in. You go into details of how AI was used to track, how AI was used for phishing, quishing, and also taking money that does not belong to the person who took that money, and also how should the law be applied at that platform. Because it's only through that I will be able to move forward. But you can't move forward if you don't have a strong legal framework, and if you do not have lawmakers who understand what is happening, up-to-date, updated lawmakers who have good researchers. And that is the only way that we are going to win these battles. Because one thing which you need to understand is that our long-term plan of Namibia Vision 2030 does not only depend on us following the plan. It also depends on us, how we react to situations which are coming in front of us. If you are not able to react to situations which are coming in front of us, and also how do we react? Do we have necessary tools If we speak about free education, how are the regulations? Are the lecturers ready to integrate AI into education system? Are they able to harness natural human intelligence? Can they differentiate between human intelligence and robotic intelligence? What are the challenges? Or is just a confusion everywhere? You do not know who is a confused and who is a confusee. What quality of education do we need to instill into our primary school learners so that by the time they reach to grade 12, by the time they reach to A level, they understand how to contribute to national development, how to contribute to building of infrastructure? Because if we are at the point of not making toothpick, importing toothpick through foreign exchange, or importing toothpick by buying at an international market on international standard, how will we deal with sophisticated softwares, sophisticated AI programs that can infiltrate our system? How are we going to deal with that? Because those are the questions that we need to ask ourselves. Do we stand any chance? Yes, we stand any chance, because with education, with good understanding, there is no way that you are going to lose, because you just need a very good understanding of how things are working. You need strong investment in research and development, and you also need people who are very clear about what need to be done and also how to react to the situation. Capacity building and continuous learning is what is necessary. But before we conclude the conversation, I want to take you back to the conversation of Billy Serekane, one of the experts from South Africa that I had a conversation with earlier this year, to look at how things are, particularly when we met at the International Conference on Cybersecurity. I want you to have a conversation on this.
Yes, Dr. Billy, you had a very great presentation. Everyone was also awake. It was long, but we did not see that. But let us look in general, particularly in Africa. How, in your view, and also through your experience, how do we understand cyber security, especially from an ordinary person to also government?
Yeah. Well, before we even talk about cyber security itself, we should look at the digital ecosystem.
Yeah.
How do we understand it? How do we partake in it? And how do we interpret the ability that it has to transform our businesses and our lives?
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at Africa, some countries in Africa have jumped from under the ground cables into optics,
yeah,
into satellite technologies.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, and if you look at the young population of Africa,
mm-hmm,
we are very digitized,
yeah,
and digitized not in a desktop perspective, but digitized in mobile. So we carry mobile phones,
mm-hmm,
which we do everything. We bank, we connect with mobile phones and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, since we've got such a massive digital exposure,
yeah,
we should therefore ask ourselves this question: how safe are we, or how exposed are we,
mm-hmm,
to attacks and to crimes that can affect our livelihoods? And
mm-hmm,
the answer is, the exposure is too large.
Mm-hmm.
It is too large because people, when you talk about cybersecurity, they think corporate, they think government.
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody sends you a WhatsApp which is cloned to get data from your phone,
yeah,
that's an attack on you.
Mm-hmm.
And that has to do with cybersecurity. So as Africans, I think one of the things that we need to do, we need to get into a place where we've got this thing I call data sovereignty.
Mm-hmm.
So which means we must have the capability to own and store our own data.
Okay.
Because at the moment, you just have a phone.
Yeah.
Apple owns your data, Facebook owns your data, mm-hmm, Meta,
mm-hmm,
and Google, they all own your data, and you don't know what they do with your data, and suddenly you see yourself consuming particular products more than others,
mm-hmm,
because they've sold your data point to these people that now start attacking you with adverts.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, number one, in Africa, we need to build our own data centers.
Yeah.
Like I said, South Africa has done it, Nigeria,
yeah,
has done it, and unfortunately, big conglomerates like Amazon have also landed doing exactly the same thing, building data centers.
Mm-hmm.
So both from a government perspective and an SME,
mm-hmm,
and solopreneurs, we've got to ask ourselves this question: how long will we allow our data as Africans to be explored against us?
Yes, Dr. Billy, let us look at cyber security defense. I want you to take us, particularly in Africa, what is one of the countries that we can learn from, which maybe build a better cyber defense system that we can learn from, and how did they invest in that area, and what is the impact that has to an ordinary citizen in that country, particularly African context?
Well, I think there are two countries that would come up front for me, which is Rwanda and South Africa. Mm. And if you look at why South Africa, especially because South Africa's got one of the most sophisticated financial systems in the world, mm-hmm. which are not even in the continent.
Okay.
So therefore, because of the fact that our systems are so highly governed, the amounts of budgets that banks have and spend on creating security around their systems is so high. And therefore, South Africa is one of those countries where we're very high on cybersecurity. Mm. However, looking at Namibia, I think 2011, you guys were 13 point something in the scale, but now you're 30 something. Mm. So it shows there's a shift, there's a movement that Namibia, both government and private sector are recognizing the fact that if you don't scale up and create walls that will protect your data, you'll be constantly attacked. Like you spoke about the attack of Telkom last year.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be happening. It should not have happened. Mm-hmm. But it happened because somebody slept at the steering wheel, you know.
Yeah.
So, and now, I mean, you look at, you guys are still working on your cybersecurity bill.
Yeah.
It's not yet alive.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, it means you're still prone for attack. But if you look at Rwanda and South Africa, because South Africa, based on the fact that we've got a sophisticated banking system, but Rwanda, based on the fact that they have decided to push the economy to become very digital. If you're going to digitize your economy, you need to build super strong cybersecurity to protect the vulnerability of your industry and your economy, and also businesses that are operating in that digital ecosystem.
Yeah, as you mentioned, South Africa and Rwanda, maybe let us look at the business side of it. When you look at a system which is prone to cyber attack, maybe just to highlight through your experience in business, what is the impact of this, having maybe a weak system or a system that cannot defend itself sometimes? What is the impact of this to the economy of the country, or even to investors who want to invest in that country, if I make my question clear?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you look at small businesses that, number one, don't understand what cybersecurity is, and the systems are not protected, people hack and steal money from them.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people hack and a simple phone call or with a link, you press the link, it sends a malware in your system, it cleans out your bank account.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you look at FDIs, you know, foreign direct investors, they don't want to come in and invest in an economy that has got too many holes, because then the danger is their money is not secured.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want to come and borrow you money and tomorrow I can't find you anywhere.
Yes.
Or somebody can hack into your bank account because you don't have any, you know, firewalls around you to protect you.
Mm-hmm.
So for your country, for many countries in the continent, for them to be able to attract FDIs, they need to get their cyber system up and going as soon as possible. And one of the things I said, we have an opportunity in the continent because we've got the youngest population in the world. So we need to invest in our school system. Cyber security must be part of the curriculum at school. It should not be after people graduate, then they must do it at university. It is late by then. They should start it at the very elementary ages, because, by the way, you know, they are black head hackers and they are white head hackers. But the greatest hackers are kids from the age of 9 and 4 and 15. Because their brains are operating at a level that we don't. You know, they don't have worries like us. They're not. All they do is they look at a keyboard and they just experiment.
Uh-huh.
And then the more they experiment, the better they become in using the system. And therefore, they can hack into any system. So kids at that early age should be exposed to digital education and especially cybersecurity education. Like I said, the market in the continent this year in 2025 is about $2.4 billion.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to increase by 6.8% between now and 2030.
Okay.
In 2030, the cyber security market is going to be $3.11 billion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the saddest part of it is we're losing $10 billion annually on cyber crime. So we're not matching the criminals with our systems.
Yeah.
So by implication, we need to focus on building the skills and the technologies, also creating collaborative ways of working. Namibia as a country can't fight on its own. It's part of SADC. Why not create centers of excellence within SADC where we can share best practices?
Yes. Dr. Billy, let us, before I ask you the question related to the most complicated case that you dealt with in business, I want you to look at research and development. The other day, I had a presentation, and there was one researcher also who spoke about, you know, African government, they spend less than 2% of their GDP in R&D. But even also those fast-growing economies, they're also spending less than 2%. 2% of their GDP to research and development. Do you think this has an impact, particularly as far as cybersecurity is concerned?
Definitely, because remember, I just said that the market is worth 2.1 billion, and yet we're losing 10 billion on cyber crimes. So it means that the cyber criminals are a couple of steps ahead of industry and governments. So government needs to really double down and spend serious amount of money, not only on R&D, but also buying skills. Because some skills, you don't have time to create them. You don't have time to nurture them. You have got to go and buy them. I spoke about the fact that in Ghana, there's a massive experience of the people from the America with the diaspora coming back to Ghana. Those people have got lots of skills, but they're coming to Ghana as an entry point. Namibia, South Africa, other countries can go and attract these super skills from developed nations for them to come and plug these gaps. Because, yes, we need to have a dual strategy. We need to train and develop an R&D, but we also need to be able to buy these skills and deploy them as quick as we can.
Now, you know, there is a lot of, I was speaking to one person, I'm not going to mention the name, is one of a bit prominent Namibian person in that field, but I have to protect due to the nature of the work that he's doing. And he's indicated that, you know, sometimes we also have a bit of suspicions, especially when you want a consultant from outside. I know you are an African. I don't want to talk about, bad about other people, but there's a little bit of, there's a little bit of concern about using external consultant to help you deal with your system, especially when it comes to cyber crime. I just want your opinion on this. Is it necessary, really? Let me say, I want somebody, a company from Russia or America, just to assist me to build a fire defense or cyber security defense. Well, what do you really, your view on this?
Well, anything. I mean, it's like if you go to a local mechanic, you have to do a due diligence on him, isn't it? He's able to fix cars. When cars come out of him, are they not missing some parts? Is gear number one no longer reverse or reverse gear number one? So you've got to do a proper due diligence. And I always say, this wheel has been created, it's moving at the speed of light. So if you cannot afford to build the infrastructure yourself, find the best of breed companies from anywhere in the world. Because remember, a lot of companies in this space, they've got a very big reputation to protect. So they're not going to come and open your systems for attack because their name is attached to the name of your company. So they're going to make sure that they give you the best service because your testimony to other businesses has the potential to increase their business. However, still say, you've got to do proper due diligence.
Yes, maybe before we come to the end of our conversation, because I know a lot of people also want to talk to you. Let us look at the issues of, you mentioned something related to collaboration. Let us look at the issues of diplomacy, because, you know, when you look at the Sunday country, we are more together in terms of diplomacy, in terms of security, we are more together. But when it's coming to critical issues, there was a point which was mentioned to say, with much respect, politicians, they listen to scientists and experts, but with a little bit of skepticism. Giving an example of climate change, scientists have been speaking about climate change, but not really well, you know, handled. How do we include this main thing of cyber security in our regional diplomacy, if I have to say that?
Well, I think we should use data to prove. And I told you the amount of money that is leaving the continent. And if you can give empirical data to these politicians and also demonstrate their own vulnerability, then they will act. Because at the moment, they think they are immune from this thing. So sometimes you've got to make a person taste a little bit of the medicine for them to wake up. So we've got to show them that all of us are vulnerable. If you're carrying a mobile device, you can be hacked anytime. So until we bring it to their face and to their lives, and they can feel the heat, the change will be very slow. The diplomatic and the business and political collaboration will not happen at the speed that it should be happening. Because I think data proves the agency of us cooperating. Instead of Namibia trying to build its own data center, why not create a data center for SADC where we share best practice? Why? Because it's going to, again, people will share the budget. You'll contribute based on the size of your country and the size of your industry.
Yes, lastly, it's a question I already asked you to say. What is the most sophisticated and complicated cyber case that you dealt with? And what lesson maybe you have learned from? And what lesson other businesses and also government can learn from that?
So we are in the, we do a lot of consulting on culture and leadership and stuff. And we have a lot of inquiries coming to our business. And like the other presenter said, we have a standard protocol of how to answer emails we don't know. You know what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm.
So when an email comes and I'm not sure who this person is, I forward it to my ICT guys and they check if it's legitimate.
So it has to go through the net first?
Yes, it has to go through the net first because, you know, I'm busy, you're busy. I press to open a link, then the whole thing goes crazy and we can't stop it.
Okay.
So I usually say to people, don't hide behind the word busy and lose the security of your business. Always have the guys, I mean, we have ICT guys who are very knowledgeable. If there's something that I see, even from my phone, and by the way, when I leave South Africa, I delete all my banking apps.
Oh.
Yes, because I'm going to get in. Because when you get into the airport, you charge your phone at the airport. You're exposing yourself to a hack. It's amazing, you know. So, you know, we call it digital sanitization. You've got to find ways to sanitize your business and protect it. And some of these hacks are so simple. You get an email that says, here's a video. You press that video open, it's gone. So, number one, an email that I've not solicited that I don't know, if it has a link, I don't touch it. A WhatsApp of somebody that I don't know that has got a link, I sometimes delete it immediately. Because those small little eggs can open up a massive gateway into your systems. And before you know it, money disappears from your business.
Yes, Dr. Mary Serekane, thank you very much for taking time, and I'm very happy that I got this opportunity to have a conversation with you. So I just wish you safety and continue doing what you do. And as I have said, your presentation is top-notch, and I think we'll meet again and also have a little bit more of conversation like this. But thank you very much for your time, and thank you for your input.
Yeah, I think it will be interesting for us to meet in a year's time and to check the score of Namibia from 39.1, how far you guys have gone, not only from the public perspective, but also private sector and small, medium enterprises.
Thank you.
It's been a privilege. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Dr.
Yeah, that is the conversation. That's why we are always indicating to you that the conversation must continue. The conversation must continue, especially in line of new development. You do not need to be an expert in everything, but you need to know one or two things which are happening in every area, particularly in the area of risk management. Because looking at where we are now, you cannot afford, I cannot afford to lose the $20 that I have in my account, because the economy is very tough. I cannot afford to lose those coins. That's why we always need to be aware of what is happening. And also, you can also attend just an online training. You can attend online free training just to be aware. The amount of time that we spend on TikTok, we can spend 2, 4, 5, minutes or 50 minutes just learn about what are the new developments in cyber security, how do you protect yourself from cyber criminals, and because you will not know everything, but you will learn and understand how things are working and also how to protect your business. And the conversation with an expert is that smaller businesses, SME operators, informal business operator are the most vulnerable people. The one who do not have enough money are the one who are vulnerable, especially when it's coming to issues of cyber criminals. They become victim of these attackers and they end up losing their little coins. And you know how devastating it is when somebody works so hard through, dangerous environment, running away from the city police here and there. And at the end of the day, when you put your small amount of money or small saving into your account, somebody just call you to trick you and you end up losing everything. That's why this conversation must be extended, especially to the young entrepreneur, to the adults, elders, and also those who are getting into retirement, to be aware of these cyber crimes. Let us move away from deals that are too good to be true. Let us evaluate and verify. Let us check new information, and also before we make any financial decision, because you never know. Even a cybersecurity expert can be scammed. A cybersecurity expert can be, attacked online. But what is necessary is that education and continued education, because if you want to develop our economy, we must not put a blind eye on what is happening at the global front, and also reality of the things which are affecting us at home. So, from me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now, and I'm leaving you in the good hands of Uncle Fly, and also Kapateka Toka. So, bye-bye.